just a second.
Blog Talk Radio.
Darn, I kind of lost track of where I wanted you at. Amen. I want you to turn back to one to the verse we turned to last Sunday morning, 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12, would you read that one verse? We'll pray and we'll get into the message because it is a continuation of last week. We're praying, we're talking about things that hinder prayer. And as we get into prayer, we're going to be talking about prayer because it is the secret to the Christian life. Without prayer, you're stranded. I hate to tell you, but you're stranded without prayer. You know, it's a helpless feeling when you can't get a hold of somebody you need, but especially when it's God. Amen. You know how it is when something, when you, it's an emergency and you got to get in touch with somebody and you keep calling and you keep getting their voicemail and you're calling everybody that they know and you can't get nobody and you send them text messages and you try them on Facebook Messenger. You try everything you can think of. You call everybody that they know and nobody's at home. Nobody's answering. And that's a mess. But it's a worse mess when you can't get in touch with God and you need his help right then. Amen. So we're going to look at 1 Peter 3:12. We're going to read that in one verse, and then we're going to pray, and we'll review briefly what we talked about last Sunday, and then we'll get into this Sunday. All right. Well, let's read right now. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." Amen. And think on that for a second. I like that. Amen. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Amen. God's not sidetracked doing something up there in heaven ignoring us. Praise God. He's watching over his own. And the Bible said, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But he said, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's against them that do evil. I want to briefly run down through these points we hit last Sunday morning, and then we'll pray and get into this morning's message. But we talked about last week things that hinder our prayers. The first thing we talked about was husbands and wives treating each other wrong. Amen. The wife is supposed to revere her husband or reverence her husband. She's supposed to show him a voluntary, submission to the responsibilities and the duties of a wife. And the number one important thing that a wife do is show her husband respect, because that's what a man needs more than anything else in this world is respect. I heard my wife back there teaching Sunday school, and I heard her going over some of those things in there with the ladies this morning. But it's so important that a wife respect her husband. It's so important that a husband love his wife and give her the care, the nurture, the honor that she deserves and needs. Amen. But if we don't do those things, God says that our prayers will be hindered. Amen. That God, he won't listen to our prayers as long as we're mistreating one another in our marriage. Number two, we talked about that prayer gets hindered when we don't make things right that are wrong. When we leave wrongs unrighted. When we don't pay our bills, we don't pay our debts, we just let things go. And the reason for that, it ruins our testimony. God doesn't want us having a bad testimony before men. And then he also talked about unreconciled brothers. When we've got something between us and another brother or sister in Christ, we ought to go to them immediately and make it right. We ought not leave that there, amen, in the way. If they don't want to make it right, well, you've at least done your part. And you can say, well, Lord, I tried to make it right. They didn't want to. And that's up to them. And that's not on you anymore. Amen. You've done all you can do. But you just love them for Christ's sake and pray for them and pray God will change their heart. Amen. But it will keep you from getting your prayers answered if you let those things go. And then the third thing we talked about last week was unforgiveness. If we're holding grudges, if we're holding bitterness inside, if it's turned into hate on us, that hinders our prayers. God's not going. I mean, in God's eyes, hate's the same thing as murder. We wish that person would destroy it. Amen. And we've got to be careful about stuff like that. Listen, God's not going to hear if we're holding on to this bitterness and holding on to ugly feelings toward other people and won't let things go. Amen. But let's get into this morning's message, amen, and we're going to talk about some three other things, actually maybe even four, before we're done. But we're going to talk about things that hinder our prayer life, and we're going to try to get the rest of these in this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God for his help. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you this morning. I pray, Father, for your power. I pray for your blessing, Lord. I pray for you to do a work in our hearts. Lord, if there be anybody in here this morning, Lord, something maybe in our life we didn't even realize was there. We didn't realize, Lord, that it was grieving you so. Father, I pray you'd uncover it and reveal it to us, Lord, that we may be able to bring it, Lord. During invitation time, we may be able to come and lay it at your feet and, Lord, confess it and ask for you to free us from it, forsake it, and walk away, Lord, and get the glory, give you the glory, rather, get the victory over sin, Father. Please help us, Lord. We want to be, Lord, a people that are separated unto you, Lord, a people that are blessed by you, a people that, Lord, just bask in the glow of your love, Father, that we just feel totally surrounded by your presence and your love in our lives. Lord, we need that. And other people, Lord, that we come in contact with need that from us. Lord, help us not be selfish with our Christianity, but realize there are others out there that need your presence in our life. And Father, if we've stifled that, Lord, through our sin, Lord, have mercy on us, and Lord, convict us and show us that we might repent and get those things out of our life, and we might be able to be a channel of blessing to others. Lord, we ask for your Holy Ghost power. We ask for the Holy Ghost leading for him to guide this message in every way. Lord, I pray you'd bless now. Lord, don't let me hinder in any way. Father, I pray cleanse me and use me for Christ's honor and glory. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as I said last week, you know, we're the conduit to get God's love to somebody else. And if we've got that stopped up, then God's not going to be able to use us. We're not going to be able to get through to him, and he's not going to be able to get anything through us if we've gotten things stopped up. And we talked about those things last week that hinder our prayer life. And so this week we're going to cover three more, and you already know the drill, so let's go ahead and just get right into it. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about covetousness. Covetousness. And listen, if we're not careful, that sin, I mean, it's in everybody to a degree. It gets us all from time to time. But covetousness, it's a very dangerous sin. And it's in every family. It's in the best family to the worst family, covetousness. You may be sitting there thinking, I don't even know what covetousness means. Well, I can tell you what it is. It's greed. G-R-E-E-D, greed. I want what others have. We've been in America, we've kind of been done a disservice because we've been made to believe that we deserve some American dream. And, you know, and when others reach a level we'd want to aspire to, well, we try to keep up with them. It seems like people try to outdo one another. You know, I've told you before, it ain't who dies with most toys wins, even though that's a bumper sticker some people have on their vehicles. I've seen it before. It ain't who dies with the most toys, amen, because you can't take them things with you. There ain't no U-Haul behind a hearse, amen. There's nothing wrong with having nice things in this world, and that's not what I'm up here preaching against. If God's blessed you and afforded you to be able to have nice things, that's fine, but those nice things ought not dominate your thinking. Those nice things ought not be what you live for. Those nice things ought not cause you to want more nice things and more nice things and more nice things until you've lost sight of your relationship with God. Covetousness, if you want a definition, it is a strong desire to have that which belongs to another. In other words, I see old so-and-so over here, and he's got a new bass boat, and I ain't got one. Man, I'd sit there and just look at his bass boat and think, boy, I wish I had that. Boy, I wish I had that. Man, I don't believe he's got that. Where'd he get the money to that? He can't have that. I ought to have that. You see somebody with a newer pickup truck than you. You see somebody with a nicer car than you. We can go on down the list. You can drive around and see nice houses, nicer than you got. Hey, listen, you don't have to drive very far to find a house nicer than I got, amen. But I'm fine where I'm at, amen. We need to learn to appreciate what God's given us and be content with what God has given us, amen. But listen to me, covetousness, it's not a simple little piddly little sin that we ought not worry about. It's a serious thing, and I want you to understand this morning how serious it is. It literally puts you under a curse from God. Do you realize that? Covetousness puts you under a curse from God. It's considered to be a very grievous offense in the Scripture. I mean, the 10th commandment forbids coveting anything that belongs to a neighbor, anything that belongs to him. Exodus 20, verse 17, the Bible says, listen, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. So I ain't supposed to look, again, I ain't supposed to look at it and say, man, you know, mine just got siding on it. Man, it's a big old nice brick house. I'm not supposed to covet that and wish I had that. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. You're not supposed to look at yours and look at his and say, man, his better looking than mine. Boy, I wish I had a wife like him. Or my wife can't cook a lick. His wife, man, she can cook. Man, I wish I had a wife like him. Listen, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to look around and say, man, that guy's got... Man, he's got people landscaping his yard. This is not his manservant. Amen. Hey, man, he's able. That dude's able to call the landscape company out and do his yard for him. I'm out here pushing this lawnmower. I wish I had what he had. Nor his maidservant. Man, he's got people over there cleaning his house for him. I can't. My house a wreck. I'm working my tail to the bone out here, and he's got some people over cleaning his house. Bible says, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Don't look out in his pasture and wish you had what he had out in his pasture. Amen? There's a reason for that. Do you know why there is? Because God knows what you need. Amen? God knows what you need. You can set her, listen, and if we're always wanting what somebody else has got, listen, we're saying to God, God, I'm not content with what you've allowed me to have. You haven't been good enough to me. I want more out of this life than what you've allowed me to get. Now, hey, listen, we're not factoring in hard work, okay? Hey, listen, if you've worked hard for something and you was able to buy it with your own money, hey, more power to you. But don't let money, well, I'll get into that in a minute, amen. By the way, Jesus listed covetousness or greed along with many of the sins from within. And we're going to talk about that tonight, Lord willing, over at the nursing home. He listed this greed along with many sins that come from the inside, including adultery, stealing, and murder. And all those things make a person unclean. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark 7, 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men. Listen, it is not something that you got from somebody else. This comes from down in your own wickedness, amen, down in your own sinful flesh. From within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things come from within and defile the man. See, God says, listen, just you may not think it's a big deal that you're sitting around wishing you had everything in the world that everybody else has got. You may say, that ain't no big deal. You know why I think we may think that way? Because we've been conditioned to think that way. We've lived in a blessed nation for so long, and let's just be honest. Most of us didn't come up through hard times. Now, maybe some of our older folks in here, they lived back through hard times. Some of them in here even lived through the 30s, amen? But I'm going to tell you right now, most of us in here have not come up through hard times. We've come up in the land of plenty. We've come up during a time of plenty. And we don't know what it's like to not have anything, most of us, amen. But you know what? If you came from that era, if you came from a time when you didn't have hardly anything, you learn to appreciate what you have, and not sit and dream about everything you don't have. But I'm gonna say that most of us are spoiled because we have grown up having pretty much anything we wanted because we've been in such a plentiful time. And I'm gonna tell you, it's not been a benefit to us to have everything we've wanted. Amen. It doesn't bless us to be able to run down the store and get anything we want any time of the day or night. Amen. It's taught us that we ought to want. Amen. To plop a child, let me just say this, to plop a child on Saturday morning down in front of a television with one commercial after another is probably not a good teaching tool for that child. To say, I want this, I want that, I want this, can I have this, I want this, I want that. That's what we start doing when we're about 2 or 3 years old, am I right? Amen. We better be careful with such as that. We're teaching children the wrong message, amen. But so the Lord said, you know, he said, evil thoughts. I'm talking about thinking bad things against people. The Lord said, that's right up there with greed. Sleeping around on your wife or your husband, that's right up there with greed. Now, you don't think of it like that. But that's what the Lord said. See, the Lord's thinking and our thinking ain't always the same. Amen? We don't look at it as, I mean, you say, man, somebody's cheating on their spouse. Wow, that's terrible. Well, so-and-so wants something somebody else has got on. Well, ain't no big deal. No, there is. It's a big deal to the Lord, you see. It's a big deal to the Lord. Hey, listen, he said not only that, he says, but stealing and wickedness and deceitfulness, lying to people, lawlessness, wanting something bad to happen to somebody. Those things are right on par with sitting around wishing you had something you didn't have. Sitting around wanting something that somebody else has. The Bible says these things defile you. Amen. Do you know what defile you means? That means you're unclean before God. That means you're dirty before God. That means your heart ain't right before God. That means, listen to me, if your heart ain't right before God, you need to get your heart right before God. Amen. You can't come to the place of prayer. You can't come to God with an honest, open heart when your heart is full of greed and you're wishing you had things that God won't give you. And you're unsatisfied because you don't have certain things. Listen to me. It'll turn you wicked on the inside. It'll turn you bitter against God on the inside. You say, so-and-so's got something. Why ain't God been that? When will God let me have what so-and-so has? It will turn you against God. Amen. I've met people like that. I know people like that. Paul reminded the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, that greed or covetousness is on par with immorality and impurity. So these things got to be put away. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. I look at those three things and I think to myself, man, that sums up most people today in 2014. I'm not saying all of y'all in here, my goodness, no, but I'm saying your average people. I'm saying those who have a shallow Christianity. I'm not talking about those who have a deep love for this book. I'm talking about those today who are going through the Joel Osteen School of Church. Those who are going through the very shallow waters that are out there today. Listen, they don't think anything. They don't think anything of sleeping around. They don't think of anything of unmarried sex. They don't think anything of that. They don't think anything of uncleanness is homosexuality. It's all the things that are being pushed upon our society today to be accepted. That's what uncleanness is. It's sexual impurity. It's immorality. And God says greed or covetousness is right there on the same level with all that stuff in his eyes. And he said, that stuff ought not be named one time among you. Because you're saints of God. You represent the King of Kings. You represent the Lord of Lords. You're a person who is fit for heaven. You shouldn't live as if you're fit for hell. That stuff hinders prayers. You won't get your prayers answered. Amen. A covetous or a greedy person, the Bible says, is an idolater. And covetousness is idolatry. Listen to the Bible in Ephesians 5:5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You see, this is a lot more serious than most people would think. God said it's an idolater. Why is it an idolater? Because more is what he's living for. Amen? The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Listen to me. When you love the Lord and you're happy with what God has given you, the Bible says you've got everything. But when all you do is sit around thinking about what you don't have and what you wish you had, amen. Instead of spending your time thanking God for what you do have, when you spend that time thinking about what you don't have, you are being an idolater. The Bible says, don't get mad at me if you don't like what I'm saying. The Bible says it because you're saying, I want more. I'm not happy with what I've got. God, the godliness in my life, the things that God has provided, that don't do me. That don't satisfy me. I want something more. So you're putting something above what God has given you. The Bible says a person who lives like that won't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Amen. Listen, there'll be no reward. There'll be no blessing. Amen. You wasted your time down here wishing for material things that are going to rot and they're going to burn. Listen, they're not going to last. Amen. We're supposed to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven by trusting God and following Him and being happy with what we have. Amen. And not spending our time and our effort worrying about things that don't matter in the long run. Colossians 3:5, it tells us again about idolatry. It says, mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. In other words, I know you don't want to just, I'm not going to kill my arm, I'm not going to kill my legs. That ain't what it means. But it means the things that when my hands want to do things that the Bible says don't do, I need to say, my hands can't do that. They're dead to this old world. When my feet want to go places that I shouldn't want to go, hey, the Bible says I ought to count my feet as dead. I can't go there. My feet are dead. I belong to God. I'm not a part of this old world system anymore. When my mind wants to think thoughts, when my eyes want to see things, when my ears want to hear things that dishonor God and bring glory to Satan instead of the Lord, I need to say, I'm dead to those things. I can't go there anymore. I can't do those things anymore. I can't look at that. I can't list that anymore. I belong to God. He said, mortify them there which are upon the earth, your members. He said, fornication. Hey, I can't do that. I belong to God. Uncleanness. I sure ain't going to do that. I belong to God. Amen. Inordinate affection. That means the wrong kind of affection. And by the way, let me just say this to you. Hey, listen, if you're not married, keep your hands off one another. Amen. I've been in this world long enough, and every grown up in here has been in this world long enough. No boys and girls get their hands on one another before they get married. It's going to go somewhere south real quick. That's what God's talking about when He says inordinate affection. Listen, we ought not be doing such as that. Amen. Listen, evil concupiscence, that means an evil mind to do the wrong things, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It's idolatry. It's wanting something worse than we want God to be pleased. James, in James 4:2, warns that people kill and covet because they can't have what they want. We always look at the last part of that verse where it says, you have not because you ask not. But it says you lust and have not. You kill. Some people kill for what they want. They don't mind. They have to kill somebody to get what they want. They sit around and dream about it, lust about it. Amen. They roll it over their tongue and they think about, boy, I'd like to have that. And I know I shouldn't have it, but I want it. Amen. Listen, and he says, you desire to have. You sit and think about it. He said, but you have not because you ask not. And the reason we don't ask some of those things is because we know God wouldn't give it to us in the first place. Covetousness. Covetousness, it's very similar to murder, adultery, stealing, and lying. And those who, and there are people in this world that accept bribes. Oh, they'll do something if you pay them enough. Why do they do things like that? Because they're money hungry. I'm talking about Congress, aren't I? Amen. I'm talking about the Senate. Amen. I'm talking about the president. I'm talking about, listen, people in power down here at City Hall, more than likely. The mayor. Bible says in Ezekiel 22:12, in thee, he's talking about in Israel, they have taken gifts to shed blood. In other words, they, hey, I'll get rid of so-and-so if you pay me enough. Thou hast taken usury and increase. wait a minute. Thou hast taken usury and increase. In other words, you charge people interest. You say, hey, man, I need some help. Can you loan me some money? Yeah, but I'm going to charge you interest on that. God's against such as that. God's against, y'all know that? God's against that. Do you know that's a wicked practice? Do you know our whole banking system, God's against that kind of ideology? You know, by the way, they're controlling the world with the banking systems, amen. Listen, that God's against that from the beginning, amen. That's covet. That's greed. That's, you need help? All right, well, we're going to make money off of you. We're going to rip you off, amen. That's greed. God hates such as that. He said, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion. Hey, listen, I'll hold something over your head and get what I want out of you. That's greed. That's covetousness. That's the underbelly of it. Amen. He said, and you have forgotten me. That's what God says. He said, you took gifts to shed blood. You've taken usury and increase. Thou hast greedily gained to thy neighbors by extortion and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Why? Because money got to be more important than he was. Amen. You see, what happens is we get to thinking about all those things we wish we had. We wish we had more money. We wish we had this. I know you got to pay your bills. I know you got to buy groceries. I know times are hard and everybody's struggling trying to make it. And I don't think there's a thing in the world with trying to work hard, pay your bills, and trying to have enough to eat on, amen. But listen, sometimes we get caught up in this world of, I just want stuff. I just want stuff. Hey, listen, what leads people to steal? They want stuff, but they don't want to pay for it, amen? They just want stuff, amen? I'm going to tell you about a little fellow named Achan. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 20 and 22 through 22. Achan, well, the children of Israel, just to make a long story short, children of Israel were in a battle against, I think it was the men of Ai, if I'm not mistaken. And they began to lose the battle, and it was found out, long and short of it is, it was found out that a fellow named Achan had took some things that he was told not to take. They were told not to take anything, but he took some things from the battle, some spoils. And I may have got that whole thing wrong about the people of Ai, but anyway, Achan, he got to coveting, and they brought him out. They brought him out, and here's what the Bible says in Joshua 7:20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, he saw some clothes he liked, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth amongst in the midst of my tent. He dug a hole and buried it, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent, and behold, it was in the tent, and the silver under it. And because he did that thing, God allowed the children of Israel to suffer for what he had done. You know what happened to Achan? They brought him and his family and everything he owned out there, and they threw rocks at him till they died. Let me tell you something. God has a problem with covetousness. God has a serious, he got a whole lot bigger problem with it than we seem to have. Amen? Let me give you another example. Gehazi, a servant of Elisha, he coveted the property of Naaman the leper so much that he lied to get what he wanted from him. Amen? And he was struck with leprosy. In 2 Kings 5, 19 through 27, Naaman had come down to see Elisha. He wanted to be healed of his leprosy. And when he got down there, Elisha told him to go dip seven times in the muddy river of Jordan. Well, him being royalty, he said, there's two other rivers over there in Assyria that are a whole lot cleaner than the Jordan. And he went away mad because he was royalty, see. He thought that it was beneath him. So he went away. Let me take that back. No, he eventually did what Elisha said, and he was healed, and he went on his way. He tried to offer a bunch of things to Elisha because he was going to heal him. He tried to offer him all kinds of things, and Elisha wouldn't take any of it. Well, his little servant Gehazi was listening to all these things that was offered. So when Elisha turned his back, Gehazi took off running after Naaman. And here's what he said. All right, so he said to Naaman after he was healed, he said, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, a servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master hath spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands what he brought." He didn't take what he brought to him. He said, "But as the Lord liveth, I'll run after him and I'll take somewhat of him. I'll get some of it. He may not want it, but boy, I do." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" So Gehazi, and he said, "All is well. My master hath sent me," he was lying, "saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags and two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. All right, so he's went down there and he's lied. And he's took things that didn't belong to him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go and they departed. So these fellows brought all his stuff back for him and they left. But Gehazi went in and he stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi? Where you been?" And he said, "Well, thy servant went nowhither. I ain't going nowhere. And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy thereof of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Man. Struck with leprosy and his family and everybody from there on out in his generations. Why? Because God don't like covetousness. God hates it. Proverbs warns us that covetousness, it'll bring trouble to a man's family. Proverbs 15:27 says this, "says he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. But he that hateth gifts shall live." Can I give you a very close to home example? Man gets his paycheck on Friday, and he's greedy of gain. So where does he go? First thing he does, he takes off for the river and goes over yonder to Grand Oklahoma to the Choctaw Casino because he's greedy of gain. He's going to try to double his earnings. And yet he comes home with nothing, an empty billfold, and his wife ain't got no clothes put on the kids. She ain't got no food to cook for the family. He ain't got no money to pay his bills. He troubles his own house. I'm going to tell you something. He that's greedy of gain, he that's covetous, is going to bring a curse upon himself and his family. You'll hinder your prayers. God's not going to answer the prayers of somebody who's full of greed. Hey, even if it's that much, even if it's just a little bit. If you're not happy with the things you have, and I want your kids to listen, because I can tell you right now, I've experienced this as being a daddy. Kids can have a room full of toys and not want any of them, but want everything else they don't have. Grown-ups can have good vehicles in the driveway, but not be happy with them and want something more than what they have. God has provided, God has given you something good. Don't sit and wish your life away on something that you don't have. You're missing the life you have now that God has given you. And you're not satisfied. God can't answer prayers of somebody whose heart's like that. Number two, self-will or rebellion. I know we covered this not too long ago, but let's hit it one more time, tack her down real good. I'm talking about, listen, these things hinder our prayers. These things keep God from hearing us. These things stop the prayer line. These things shut us out from God's throne room. These things keep us from getting His blessings upon us. 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 3. I read this before, but I'll read it again. Samuel said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be a king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." God said, go down there and kill everything there is. And you say, man, that's terrible. How did God want, what God want to do that? Well, God had given these people a long, 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 long time to get right, and they never did. They were an adulterous pagan people who only wished harm against the children of Israel, and God said, enough's enough. Go down there and destroy them. You may think, well, that's horrible. I can't believe God won't do that. Well, you don't hate sin as bad as God does. That's why you feel different than God does. God hates sin. God hates sin so bad He created a place called hell for sinners to spend eternity, you understand? God hates sin. God crucified His own Son to pay for sin. God hates sin. God looked at this wicked nation who was never going to turn, and in His sovereign will and His infinite wisdom knew they would never change, and God said, destroy them. And we know what happened. Saul went down there, and he destroyed almost all of them. But that ain't what happened. In verse 17, the Bible says, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, in other words, you didn't think you were a big shot king, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, he said, took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, he was lying. He's the king. He's in charge. The people weren't in charge. He was in charge. He said it was the people. It was the people, Samuel. They took of the spoil of the sheep and the oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. We just brought it to sacrifice to God, that's all. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? See, that's what's wrong with people today. They want to do things. They don't mind serving God if they can serve God their way. They don't mind going to church if they can have church their way. They don't mind reading the Bible as long as they can find one that says what they think. They don't mind listening to a preacher as long as that preacher preaches what they want to hear. You see, it's self-will. It's, hey, I want my way. This is my life. I live in this world, and it's my life. It ain't your life. It's my life, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And if I'm going to go to church, it's going to be the kind of church I want. If I'm going to hear a preacher, it's going to be the kind of preaching I want to hear. If something I don't want to hear, I'll go find another church. Amen. That's the way a lot of people are. Amen. That's the reason why there's lots of places to sit in here. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, whether you like it or not. Amen. He said, does the Lord like burnt offerings and sacrifices, or does He like you obey Him? He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can come to church. You can tote your King James Bible in here. You can sit and you can hold it. You can read every word. You can put money in an offering plate. Listen, you can sing. You can show up every time the doors are open. You can do everything. Smile, be friendly to everybody. Welcome visitors. You can do everything. You can help out. You can bring potluck dinners and everything. I mean, be a big giver. Do all those things. But I can tell you something. You can do all those things and still not want to be right with God in your heart. Because that's what, see, Saul was doing. He was trying to bring sacrifices to God. What he said. I'm trying to equate what he did with people saying, well, I go to church. I give and I sing. I do all that. But God wants you to obey, you see. God's more interested than you, interested in you loving him enough to obey him. You want religious? Hey, we can go down to the Catholic Church right now and watch religion. They got religion coming out their ears down there at Mass today. But it won't do you no good come the Lord come call you home. There's plenty of religion. God wants some people that'll be obedient. Be happy with what he's provided. Hey, and be happy to obey him according to his commandments and not our way. He said to Saul, he said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Don't miss that. Us saying to God, Lord, I know your Bible says this, but you know, I just feel like in this day we live in, you know, people are living different. It's changed. Times have changed. It ain't like it was back then. Listen, God says that's just like witchcraft, to have that ideology, have that mindset, to have those thoughts. Listen, because if it ain't God's way, whose way is it? It's the devil's way. Man, apart from God, is as evil as can be. Can I tell you that in the days of Noah, right before the flood, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He thought it was fine because it was in his own, it was his way, in his own eyes. And number three, indifference toward the Scripture. Indifference toward the Scripture. Well, that's kind of what I was just saying, you know. Yeah, and a lot of people do this. Yeah, you know, I believe the Bible. They don't read it. Yep, that's the Bible. But it just sits there and gets dust on it. Just sits there. It's a paperweight. It's you put it on your shelf till next Sunday. I dare say if we went around the room and I asked everybody in here, and I'm not going to do that, of course. I wouldn't do it for $1 million. I wouldn't do it for nothing. But if I went around the room and I asked everybody in here, how often do you read your Bible? I bet we'd have folks that was embarrassed to say. Now, I know you may be thinking, well, I don't ignore the Bible. I mean, I'm in church, aren't I? I mean, I came this morning. I mean, I'm listening to you preach it, aren't I? I don't ignore it. But listen, when you fail to read it, you fail to follow it. I mean, listen, I had to go to Ava, Missouri last week. And can I tell you something? I didn't know how to get to Ava, Missouri. I could have tried to figure it out, Brother James. I could have said, well, I know it's somewhere in the middle of Missouri. Sure, if I drive around enough, I'll find it. Let me tell you something. They ain't straight roads up there. Ain't none of them straight, and ain't none of them goes flat either. Amen. I'd have been up there all week trying to find Ava, Missouri, because I can tell you right now, it was not right on the main road. I had to follow a map. I had to have instructions. I had to have that woman on my phone say, turn left, turn right. I had to have all that. Listen, I couldn't figure it out on my own, and you can't figure out this life on your own. You need God's instructions. You need God's GPS. You need him to tell you where to step and how to do it. You will fail if you don't follow it. I'll tell you just like the judge will tell you, hey, ignorance of the law is no excuse, and ignorance of the Scripture is no excuse either. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. That, you know what that means? I just ain't going to read it today. That ain't, I'm not ever reading this Bible again. It's, I ain't got to read it today. I ain't got to read it tomorrow. I'll get it Sunday. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, are you ready for this? Even his prayer shall be an abomination. God says, you want to talk to me about things, but you don't want to listen to me? This ain't a one-sided conversation. This ain't a one-sided relationship. If you want a relationship with God, you better listen to what he says as well as telling him what you need. Your prayer is an abomination, amen. You know what else things are an abomination? The Bible says when a man lies with another man, that's an abomination. God says, hey, that's an abomination. Both those things make him want to throw up. The Bible tells us in Psalms 1:1-3, listen, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The man who stays in the Bible day and night, the Bible says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A tree that's growing right next to a water source is luscious and green. It has no problem because it has a steady supply of what it needs. And a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who stays in that Bible every day has everything that they need throughout this life. But you can't have that if you ignore it. Let me say to you, listen, that good success in life and prosperity in life, and I'm not talking about getting rich and having everything. I'm just saying just every day, God giving me what I need. Listen, that depends on having the Word of God in your heart and on your lips. Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, if you want to be prosperous and have good success, then make this your roadmap. Make this your instruction, your handbook, amen? God said, right, he promised it. God doesn't lie. I mean, if you don't love this book, if you don't follow this book, then you can't expect to meet the promise or receive the blessings that go along with it. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and what does abide mean? To be knit together. To abide in something. Knit together, just like a cloth, amen? Hey, when it's knit together, it's strong. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, my life, listen, here's the way God wants it. God wants it so that you can't separate. I'll just use you, Ricky. God wants it so that when somebody's around Ricky, they can't separate him from the Lord Jesus, amen? If they're around Ricky, they're going to be around God's presence. That's the way God wants it. God wants, hey, if you want to talk to me, you're probably going to hear some of what God has to say. Amen? Not that I'm not beating you with the Bible every time we talk, but if you talk to me, you're not going to get Brandon's perspective separate from God. You're going to get God's point of view because that's Brandon's point of view. You understand? That ought to become your point of view and your perspective instead of you having your own separate from God. The Bible says if you'll do that, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But I got news for you. If you don't follow God and you don't make it a part of your life, you don't put this word in you and hide it in your heart, listen, you're not going to get those answers like you want. God's not going to hear an answer. John 14:13-14, the Bible says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You're not going to be able to ask things in God's name if you're not in this book. You won't know what God expects you to ask for. John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Mark 9:23, Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. How are you going to know what to believe and what not to believe if you don't know what this book says? Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing. Well, how are you going to have any hearing without the Word of God? Because hearing comes by the Word of God. If you don't know what this book says, then you can't expect God to give you faith for anything. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. How are you going to do that? You get in this book and you find out what all God has to say. And you say, man, I love what the Lord says. I delight in it. I find my joy. I find my joy not sitting and watching 2.5 Men or some kind of garbage like that on TV and laughing at filth. amen, or watching some show about a bunch of queers. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Women sitting around watching shows with a bunch of faggots in it ought to be ashamed of themselves. Amen. God ain't pleased with that junk. Sitting around watching a bunch of pansy men, amen, talking about, I don't even want to go into it, amen. You know what I'm saying, and you know what I'm talking about. That stuff is an abomination to God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Love what God loves. And the Bible says, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. But I can tell you something. The desires of your heart ain't going to line up with God and get what you want unless you love him. And let me go to number four and we'll be done in just a second. Unconfessed, unrepented sin grieves God and hinders our prayers. I said it last week, but I'll say it again. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, no matter how small it may be. If it's in there, listen to me. It's not that you don't love God, but listen to me. You love that sin in your life so much that you love it more than you love God. Because if God says, if God tells you he hates it and you hang on to it, then you're saying, I love this more than God. And you've made an idol out of your sin. I know what I'm telling you is hard stuff, but I'm telling you the truth this morning because I love you and I want to help you. But you know what? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now listen to me. Let me use the example of a kid who may have fell down the mud puddle. But you know what? That kid comes back in and says, I'm sorry I fell in the mud puddle. I need, can I help me get clean, get some clothes on? You know what? You can get that kid clean, but if that kid's just getting clean with the purpose of going right back out and jumping in the mud puddle again, there ain't no sorry to it, is there? And if a child of God comes down to this altar and says, oh, Lord God, I'm dirty. Clean me. But you get up with the intention of going right back and getting dirty again, you didn't get clean. You didn't get nothing there. You soothed your conscience a little bit, but you didn't get no forgiveness there. You didn't get no cleansing there if you go back with the intention of just doing it right back again. Listen, if we want our prayers to be answered, friends and neighbors, we've got to judge our own sin. We need to judge it. We need to take a look at it this morning. God's showing you something. If God's put his finger on something this morning, you need to step back and judge your own sin and say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong, Lord. I've sinned against you. Problem with us, we ain't got enough brokenness in us. We've not allowed the Holy Spirit to break us where we're wrong. We've not allowed him to bring a heavy sorrow over us. We've said, I don't want to think like that. I don't want to feel like that. We've shunned it. When what we need is a good cleansing, amen? We need to get clean. God, if God's troubling you over your sin, then you need to confess it. You need to come to God and say, Lord, I'm guilty. I did it. I'm doing this. I'm wrong. Judge your own sin. Honestly confess your sin to God. And listen to me. Take sides with God against your own self. Say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I can see it from your perspective now. Lord, I am doing some things wrong here, and I need to confess it to you and get clean. There has to be wholehearted repentance. And I'm going to give you a few thoughts on how to get clean. Amen. Listen, to remove the hindrances of sin. Number one, like we said, an honest realization of your sin. You honestly judge it in the light of God's Word. If God's Word said it's wrong, it's wrong. There's no gray areas with God. You're either wrong or you're right. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Number two, an honest confession of your sins. 2 Corinthians 7:10-11 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. See, when we get grieved over our sin, listen to what it says. Behold what carefulness it wrought in you. We don't want to do it again. What clearing of yourselves, so getting it out of your life. What indignation. That means getting mad at your own self for even allowing yourself to get in that position. And getting mad at yourself if you see yourself even getting close to it again. He said, what fear? Why? Because I don't want to sin against my Heavenly Father who's holy and righteous and holds my entire being in His hand. Listen, and what vehement desire? It creates a desire in you to do right. What zeal? Yeah, what revenge. I want to get back at the devil. I want to show the devil. I want God's power to show the devil, hey, listen, you lost this battle, sucker, and you ain't getting the next one either. That's what godly sorrow will do. And number three, and lastly, a simple faith that God is faithful to forgive. See, again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. God, every time, God doesn't get to a point, He says, okay, well, you're on the blacklist now, you're done. You went too far. No. God is faithful every time. He's faithful on a Sunday morning just like this one right now. And if He's dealt with you about something in your life, listen, I don't care how big or how little it is, it doesn't matter. It's not between me and you, it's between you and God. It's not between you and anybody else in this church house this morning. It's between you and God. And if God's dealing with you, if the Holy Spirit, no matter how small of a nudge it was, no matter how light of a touch it was, if He has touched your heart about something this morning, don't ignore it. Don't let it go by. Listen, maybe the first time you ever came to an altar, that's fine. It's more important that you get things right with God. Let Him have His way with you this morning. Let's stand together. Our Father, Lord, we come now asking You to, Lord, please clean us on the inside. Lord, make us vessels fit for You to fill with Your power and Your love. Lord, to use in the lives of others. Lord, to help them. Lord, we need You today, and we beg You, Lord, to work in our lives. Lord, please take the message that's been preached this morning. Oh, God, please bring people to the altar. Lord, getting things out of their lives and cleaned up. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we're able to have a clear line of prayer to You. Lord, that when we're in our time of need, Father, and just on an everyday basis, Lord, that we're able to get to the throne. Lord God, please let us get the way clear so that we can please get to the throne, Father. We love You and praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen. If God's moved on your heart this morning, come to the altar and get it right with Him. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, naught of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene, though it may cost me much tribulation. I am resolved, there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. And oh, what a blessedness it is when there's nothing in between you and the Lord.